When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get everything for your next project today at Menards and save big money. Keep your walls and trim protected while you paint with Scotch Blue Painter's Tape. It's designed for use on multiple surfaces and can be removed easily without leaving residue behind. Save big on Scotch Blue Painter's Tape from Menards. Also, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and check out all of our great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Anyway, she goes to bed. I open up a box of Vibes. I light up. I pour myself a cognac. And I watch the 14 fists of McCluskey. What a picture.
Yo, homie, is that my briefcase?
And start asking the right fucking questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special Rum and Rant. I'm your host, Blake Howard. As you know, thank you so much for being a part of One Heat Minute Productions Patreon, our exclusives here. And it's so weird. I'm actually speaking to a man who is a huge part of One Heat Minute Productions and who is currently percolating on something so sensational, so outlandishly wonderful that like it actually hurts me that I can't share it with you right now. And what did I do today? Well, I did a mean thing. Because normally what I do, for anyone who listens to the Rum and Rant podcast, you know that I usually tag stuff that come across online that is complete hackish, bad faith film takes with my little Jerry Seinfeld gif called Hack Shit. And I even most recently developed another one that is just bad takes, which is the great Sala reaching out to Indiana Jones as he's about to eat a date that is going to poison him and is catching it before he catches it in his mouth just to say, please do not imbibe this, this will hurt you. And I did the opposite of both of those things. I sent an article, which is deeply hack shit and both a bad take, to a friend of mine who I knew would fire him up. And subsequently, he is now on the show. He's one of my favorite people. He's my internet husband. He is so un-fucking fathomably talented that it hurts my brain sometimes. And it's great to talk to him today. Travis Woods, welcome to Rum and Rant.
Oh, handsome Blake Howard, you and your intros. Thank you, buddy. Thank you. And I do appreciate you buttering me up since you already pissed me off pretty significantly today with this horrid, horrid article by one Malcolm Knox, Aussie journalist, author, and columnist, I guess. I know nothing about him. I refuse to learn anything about this guy.
Nor should you.
This snake oil salesman. Who wrote an opinion article called The Only Thing Worse Than Point Break, Keanu Reeves is acting in it. Oh, pure snake oil, balderdash,
it is
jibber jabber. I apologize to everyone listening. I've already had a few drinks to steel my nerves against this synapse collapsingly bad take. A real original take too, suggesting that Keanu Reeves isn't a good actor. Really, like a bold and novel stance that no pop culture writer has attempted to scale before. Great job there.
I'm angry. This is what I love about how shit this take is. There are Australian film journalists from a whole bunch of publications who are actually good, who could have had an assignment to write something good, and I don't necessarily hate a hostile take, but I also hate a shit take and a hack shit take, simply because Point Break, it has been litigated, is an incredible movie. Yeah. Like it is like a universally agreed upon point at this moment. This is an incredible movie. If you want to go back and do that horseshit thing where it has been overwhelmingly litigated that a movie is great, and then you like watch The Shining or you watch Jaws or you watch like even a lower tier classic, like, you know, I'm just trying to like qualify like a lower tier classic movie. Like, I don't know. I can't even think of one at the moment, but it's like, let's just say Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, just something that is not necessarily like, you're going to come back and go, that movie's terrible. And you're like, I just want to tell you, number one, that it's been litigated. It's done. Number two is, why do people continue to love and adore Keanu Reeves as both a person, an individual, and a movie star? Is because people realize that he's doing something different. Not every actor needs to be naturalistic. Not every actor needs to have those muscles. Not every actor needs to be trying to do the same style or like bend to every style. Some films have to bend around the actors that are in them. And so I feel like the collective universal reappraisal of people like Cage and Keanu, people have come to understand that, like, you are, in the words of Archangel de Jesus Montoya, you are not paying for a service. You are paying for a result. You are paying for something that there is something unquantifiable that you get in a role from Keanu that you don't get from another person if you don't cast him. And so not only is this a dunderheaded take from a person who is not a film person by the looks of things, it's also like let's hack shit up some hack take, you know, another. And also it's a female director, so let's pile on a fucking female director's great work and say that it's a piece of shit because there's not another fucking 1,000 films that we couldn't do this to. So I'm sorry to piss you off so much, but it is just so stupid that I thought it would make me feel better if I got to talk to you about why this is just so ludicrous.
Well, I pre-apologize to the listeners. I'm drinking on mic again. Much like MacReady and The Thing, I needed a little J&B to steady my nerves against this chess match that I'm in here. First off, Malcolm Knox, and no offense to my Aussie brother Blake here, let me just say one thing real quick to this ungrateful gentleman. You Australians were lucky, lucky that we gave you a whiff, a waft, a tiny, tiny just breeze of our, the sweet and heady jasmine and ocean smell of LA in the form of Point Break, that we gave you a tiny taste by letting you have the climax, the emotional peak of that movie take place on your fair shores. You are lucky, Malcolm Knox, that you get to be a part of that mythos. And I think one should be appreciative of that, first and foremost. That aside, even if you can't appreciate that, okay, fine, whatever. This whole thing, I'm gonna take a little drink, hang on.
you're so on brand to be drinking on mic for this episode. It's beautiful, I appreciate it.
I mean, it's rum and a rant, what are we doing? I mean, dude, what's that? The Twitter meme always understands the assignment. I understand the assignment. I've spent the past half hour getting myself liquored up for this thing. Like, I mean, I hope it's not just a cute name. I've heard people drink on that. Okay. So first, I got a couple of prongs at which I'm going to
attack this argument.
The first off, this whole thing, about Keanu being a bad actor is such horseshit. I'm going to tell you why. He's not a bad actor. He's a great actor. If there is a flaw in the Reeves oeuvre, it is that he is a frequently miscast, or excuse me, previously rather frequently miscast actor. And I think probably most famously in something like Bram Stoker's Dracula by Francis Ford Coppola. You know, it is probably not within his range set to be playing a Victorian era businessman. I'll give you that, even though I get a kick out of him in that movie. But I think he gets a bad rap for that, because he does have a vibe. Keanu does have an interesting, odd vibe, kind of a Martian from Ohio vibe. I know he's not from Ohio, but Johnny Utah is. He's got that kind of Martian from Ohio vibe. And when that is focused at the, you know, at the right role, it's perfection. You look at something like My Own Private Idaho, which I believe came out the same year as this film, which was 30 years ago. My God, we're all getting old. His performance on My Private Idaho is staggering. And human and complex and beautiful and sad and painful and wonderful. It's absolutely amazing because he was pointed at the right role. Now, does he play him? Does Keanu play any character like most human beings that we walking down the street? No, he does not.
No.
He does have that weird kind of spacey California Martian from Ohio thing. And that's okay. That's okay. It's you know, we all love Jack Nicholson, but from like 1975, Cuckoo's Nest on, he has not played a normal human being. No one in human history has ever behaved the way a Jack Nicholson character behaves. He's essentially playing Jack, to varying degrees, Jack Nicholson. And we forgive him for it because
my favorite example of that is in a movie that I know that you and I deeply love, which is The Two Jakes, which is when the totally irrational Madeline Stowe is just going off and he like throws her to the ground in this like weird, strange currency exchange of like passion that's happening between them and just goes, shut up. Like basically
shut up, face down,
shut up. And you're like, is this a holdup or is this a sex act? I don't know what this is. Jack, he's beautiful.
It's pure Nick. He does it the same way that R.P. McMurphy would do such a thing in Cuckoo's Nest, or the drunken astronaut would in terms of endearment. He's playing Nicholson, and we forgive him for it because the man is walking charisma with two triangular eyebrows attached and a pair of sunglasses, and we love him for it. But he's essentially playing a human being. He's playing these characters. And he's imbuing them with Jack. They are human beings that have never existed before Jack Nicholson played. Like, that's just what he does. And similarly, I think Keanu has the very same thing. He's not playing characters the way, you're not going to bump into a John Wick on the street, nor are you going to bump into an Ortiz, the dog-faced boy, which I got to say, his performance in Freaked, this might sound like hack shit too. I actually think his performance in the little scene Freaked as Ortiz, the dog-faced boy, might actually be his greatest performance. It is
That's not hack shit. That's trash shit.
Wild. Like, his level of energy in that film is fucking wild. If you get a chance to see Freaked with he and Alex Winter,
directed that, right? Winter directed Freaked.
I believe he co-directed it. Yes.
Co-directed. Yeah, cool. I think in Australia, if anyone's listening, it's on YouTube. And in the States, where did you find it? Is it on like what's streaming?
You basically got to watch it on YouTube.
You got to watch it on YouTube.
There's some weird rights issues. But my point is that does he play every character like a human being you would bump into in the street back when we bumped into people on the street? No, he doesn't do that. But neither does fucking Jack Nicholson. And we love Jack for that. And I think we should love Keanu for that. Because I think he's imbuing these characters, kind of like Nick Cage. They're vibrating at an atomic frequency that is different from anything that we've ever seen, but that doesn't make it any less real. It makes, actually, in a way, the characters far more interesting. You know, you look on the page, a character was it Jack Travin? I can't remember, but Jack, his character from Speed, That character is just, there's nobody there on the page. He's just a badass dude doing badass shit.
And you only have to look at Speed 2 to look at how much
he does. Apologies to Jason Patrick, who I do love in After Dark, My Sweet, but he comes off as, you know, he comes off a little touched in Speed 2, a little touched.
Touched? In the parlance of Zodiac, is he touched?
He seems a little touched at times. And it works in a movie like After Dark, My Sweet, and he's pretty good in Rush too. But
Knock, right, Jason Patrick?
Oh yeah,
come on. Oh yeah, Knock's Knock.
A wonderful handlebar mustache in that movie. So Keanu, he's just playing characters. He's playing them the only way he can do them, and I do think that he has kind of a, I wouldn't say narrow skill set, but he has a very definitive skill set. And when it is applied at the right character, just like it is with any actor, that's when you get fireworks. That's when you get something you're not going to get with anyone else, whether it's My Own Private Idaho, whether it's Ortiz the dog-faced William Freak, whether it's John Wick, whether it's Jack Traven, or whether it's Johnny fucking Utah. He brings something to the table that only he can bring to that table. Additionally, the other thing about Keanu is that I will give Malcolm Knox, journalist, author, and columnist, this Point Break, the only film called Point Break. There is no other film called Point Break. There is no remake. There's just the 1991 opus. Should not work. That movie... should not work. I will give him this. All of the requisite elements that come together for that film, the plot, the action, the characters, the writing, nothing in that movie should work. That film works for three very, very specific reasons. The first is Catherine Bigelow. Mm. The other two, and maybe the most crucial, maybe even more crucial than Catherine Bigelow, although it's hard to imagine more crucial things in a film than Catherine Bigelow. The two crucial elements in the constellation that is Point Break that makes it a genuine 90s pop action masterpiece are Patrick Swayze and Keanu fucking Reeves.
Of course.
And there's a reason for that. There's a couple of reasons for that. One is, If you've read the history of Point Break, there were a lot of people that were gonna play like Johnny Utah. You were gonna get Johnny Depp, Val Kilmer, Charlie Sheen, Broderick at one point, which boggles my mind.
I was gonna say, when you said Depp and Kilmer and Sheen, I'm like, they've got a type. They've got a type here. They're going for something.
But you know what they would do through that whole fucking movie? You know what they would do they're canceled now. Depp and Sheen anyway are, and then Kilmer, you know, he's, you know, not doing a lot of acting anymore, but you know, these were all in their heyday, rather vital, important, powerful actors. And I mean, also is Matthew Broderick, all just in a very different way. They all would have played Johnny Utah with a fucking smirk. Yeah. They would have played him with a smirk because his name is Johnny Utah. Is this insane? And this entire fucking movie is insane. 50-year storm at Bell's Beach. What? Come on.
But that would be a waste of time.
The reason this movie works in spite of itself is the casting of maybe the only two men in Hollywood at that time that would take this material 100% serious.
Yeah. And sell the seriousness.
You watch the EPK from back in the day, and Patrick Swayze, he fucking believes the shit that Bodie's talking about.
Of course, you know, he does.
About these lost souls and their metal coffins on the freeway. Like, he believes this. Like, he is like zonked out of his mind, cult leader style. You know, rest in peace. I'm not saying that to insult the man. I'm complimenting him that he
got
truly
it.
Truly believes, maybe not in the more murderous aspects, perhaps quite like Bodhi, Patrick Swayze hates violence. That's why he has to have Rosie do this. He could never do that, man. Never hold a knife to Tyler's throat. We shared time. But he might not believe in that stuff, but he believes in some of the more zonked out elements, I think, or believed in some of the more zonked out elements of Bodhi's philosophy. And then, which is the only way you can sell a character like Bodhi, is you need an actor who might be a little wacky or zonked out enough to totally fucking buy this script. Similarly, with a character like Johnny Utah, you need an actor that's going to 100% commit, not play this with a smirk, not do some weird early 90s Val Kilmer doing this with a smirk. I'm kind of above this, or, you know,
in on the joke. He can never be in on the joke. He has to be. That's the thing. He has to stare. This is a real quality of a great actor. He has to stare in the eyes of like this Bodhisattva cult leader mindset and believe him. Just be there and present in the moment to believe him. And you have to believe that he believes him. And that's a real talent, because he's so committed to it that you're like, I'm all in. I'm all in for this rush. And you have to believe that he would be so enamored with Bodhi that he'd kind of get swept into all of this nonsense. And it's so hard to do. And he does it effortlessly.
You know what you need, and you see it. The opening scenes of the film, you have this back and forth cutting between this faceless badass surfing, who, you know, obviously is Bodhi. And then you have in the rain with his tight t-shirt and mom jeans, you've got Johnny Utah on a shooting range for the FBI, and he gets like a perfect 10 with his shotgun prowess. And, you know, he gets a thumbs up, you know, from his commander, and he turns, Johnny Utah, Keanu is Johnny, turns, gives this beatific smile and a thumbs up. And you know what it is? It's big, dumb golden retriever energy, exactly what Johnny Utah needs. He needs to just be. It's like when he's chasing Bodhi on the beach when they're playing football for the first time, and he's got to reveal that he's fucking Johnny Utah of Ohio State. It's that big, dumb dog energy of, I'm just going to chase you. I'm just going to chase you. But he's got a good heart, and he's, you know, maybe not he's not smart. And that's the thing too. That's something too. I don't think Keanu's dumb. I know that people sometimes make the joke about it, because he's got this kind of, Keanu's beauty is very, physical beauty, I think, is very kind of uncomplicated. Mm. And when you add that with his kind of zen-like attitude, there's an assumption of just total emptiness and vacuousness. I don't think that is the case, but I do think that Johnny's a little dumb.
Oh, Johnny is dumb. The difference between Keanu and Johnny, though, is, the difference between Keanu and Johnny is, and just to say this to qualify about Keanu, there is an amazing moment where Stephen Colbert recently, it's in the last couple of years, it was pre-COVID, asked Keanu Reeves, as he does, because he just had that bee in his bonnet because he's a religious guy, to ask every single person about, especially anyone who even sniffed was like an atheist or agnostic, about what they believe the afterlife is. And he goes, what do you think happens when we die, to Keanu Reeves? And Keanu Reeves had this absolutely sensational response. He sort of paused and contemplated. He's extremely deliberate with what he says. And he goes, all I know is the people who love us will miss us.
That's and deep shit.
I'm like, that motherfucker is so much deeper and thoughtful than people give him credit for. And he can play a Labrador like nobody's business.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, there are some very intelligent performers who I think are incapable of playing dumb. There's a light, like I've often felt like Jodie Foster, great actress, cannot play dumb.
No,
just
never.
Can't do
never.
It. There's something in her eyes. You just can't not, you can't turn it off.
She's too savvy.
I don't think Keanu's dumb, but I think he's good at playing dumb. Mm. And something that we don't get a lot in movies anymore, you know, we always get characters who are, you know, they're all, you know, Tony Stark, IQ 157, figuring shit out left and right. It's kind of revelatory when a movie just lets a character purposefully be dumb. And I don't think audiences quite know how to deal with that at times, but Johnny, I think, is intentionally dumb. When we meet Johnny, when he strolls into Robert LAPD No, excuse me, LAP, but when he strolls into the LA FBI offices, what does his boss say? He's like, you know nothing. In fact, you know no less than nothing. If you knew that you knew nothing, then you would know something, but you don't. Boy, you're a real blue flame special, aren't you? Young, dumb, and full of cum. I know. What I don't know is how you got assigned out here in Los Angeles with us. Guess we just must have ourselves an asshole shortage, huh? And of course, he's just got that, not so far. But he's introduced to us as, God, I love that. You're a real blue flame special. He's kind of dumb. And
how can you say this movie is bad when it has sequences like that? That shit is pure joy. I didn't watch it today. And I'm like, I'm fucking putting Point Break on so fast when we finish recording. I want to watch that scene right now.
But that's the thing. Here's the thing. And if you get someone like Charlie Sheen to play this role, he was in the running at the time. You know, he's got that coke sweat sheen of having been around the block a time or 20. It's not going to work. You need someone who feels like they just strolled out of Ohio and they don't know anything about anything. You know, if you knew that you knew nothing, then you'd know something. But see, that's the thing about Johnny Utah is that he doesn't know that he doesn't know anything. No. And it's that kind of that naivete. I can't talk. God, sorry, everybody listening. It's too much to drink. But it's a hard word to pronounce even when you're sober. Okay. But he's got that like childlike emptiness, you know, ready to be filled with the knowledge of the world that would allow him to fall under the sway of a Bodhi. And that is the magic of this movie. This isn't a heist movie, because you and I were batting back and forth with some friends of ours, you know, our 10
favorite heist movies.
And the reason I didn't include Point Break on my list is because, you know, we had that conversation about how there are heist movies, and then there are movies that have heists in them.
Yeah,
you know, either the Wild Bunch opens with an amazing heist. You know, if they move, kill them, and it's got, you know, that train heist is one of the greatest heists in heist history. But it's not a heist movie; it's a Men on a Mission movie. It's End of the West revisionist Western movie. And Point Break is not a heist movie.
No.
More than anything else, it's a just fuck already movie. And that's the magic of this movie. It's about two people who it's the master. It's PTA, it's the master. It's two people that when they meet, they recognize that the other person has the thing that they are missing. And Johnny Utah, this, you know, wide-eyed oaky kid from Ohio, recognizes that Bodhi has been around. Bodhi has seen the world. Bodhi has knowledge and experience that can only be earned. And conversely, I think Bodhi recognizes in Utah not an emptiness, but a kind of undiluted and untainted, almost childlike purity that I think that Bodhi in his, you know, Bodhi believes his intentions on some, he justifies his intentions with a nobility that isn't really there, but he tells himself is there. And it's the kind of nobility that only a, you know, blank and square jawed hero like Johnny Utah can possess. And you need an actor that can almost possess that empty heroism, not empty, but just that unthinking golden retriever goodness. And they recognize that in each other, and they recognize what is missing in each other and what they need from the other person. And not to get weird on you here, but that's what this fucking movie is. And you need a Keanu Reeves to portray someone that naive.
Yes.
And a goodness that naive.
They built a whole trilogy on it. They built the Matrix on the back of
purity. The Matrix, whatever you want to say about the sequels, but the original Matrix film is built on whoa.
Yeah.
It's built on that whoa, because you need someone, a blank surface onto which we can all project ourselves.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's not quite what's going on in Point Break, but that is when we're talking about, again, I don't want to use the word narrow, but when we're talking about the very specific skill set that Keanu has, it is in the portrayal at times of characters like that. There is an essential kindness and goodness that almost feels like it's borderline naive. And that is kind of the journey of Johnny Knoxville. Or, God damn it, Blake. I'm sorry to everybody. I'm drinking. I don't know why I keep saying Johnny Knoxville. That is the arc of Johnny Utah, is a character who goes from being, you know, this naive Pollyanna to this very world-weary, dirty harrying his badge into the sea, the Australian sea, you lucky Aussies, again. And say, yeah, he's not coming
back. He's not coming back. And why con Dios.
And but see, again, what a ridiculous film. This movie does not work without a performer that is as at times ridiculous as Keanu Reeves. Just like Bodhi does not work unless you get someone willing to be ridiculous, to seriously commit to the bit of being ridiculous the way Swayze does. Because I mean, come on, Bodhi's a fucking ridiculous character.
He's great.
We share
what's great is all the characters around them, and this is the alchemy of why Catherine Bigelow's film is actually genuinely a genius work, is...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You got Busey, who is all the way cynical. Like, he could never believe the shit that Bodhi says. To him, he would diminish it completely.
The sex got clean and the air got dirty. Boy, LA sure has changed.
And I just want to see you driving around like Cliff Booster, LA, just listening to Gary Busey's lines from this movie, just periodically on the radio.
Oh, Blake.
Also, Tyler is, she's got her own level of world weariness and she has her head on her shoulders. So she like looks at Bodhi and she's been on that journey with him for a time and laser focuses in on the hypocrisy and just knows just the level. It's like almost like a fighter. She's like measured her distance with her jab, knows exactly how far away she needs to stay away from Bodhi, but also is in their unit, in their sort of community. But she also knows that there's a tipping point that if you like drink his Kool-Aid, you're gone. And I think that that's also the alchemy of great movies, is how the characters offset and balance the overall sort of orbit of what's happening. And these two figures need to be at the center. You need Johnny Utah, you need Bodhi at the center, and you need these other influential figures that are balancing, that are pulling, that have got some gravity in the stakes of the story. And for me, that's what's so magic about it. And it's electric. Like, the relationships in this movie are electric. You can't take your eyes off of it.
And let me tell you something, Malcolm Knox. Let me tell you something. I'll straight admit it. I mean, I've had enough to drink. I'll admit it. At the end, there's two endings to this movie.
Yeah, there's two endings. Any
decent fucking human being knows that's watched this film. There's two endings. There's the skydiving chase sequence. And then there's the, awesome, kind of the Bell's Beach, he's not coming back epilogue. Now, I will straight up say this, and I'm not saying this to be cute. I'm being for real. I'm being for real with you, Blake. when Johnny and Bodhi part ways after they jump out of the fucking plane with only one parachute, boy, you are one radical son of a bitch. When Rosie picks up Bodhi in the Jeep and they're driving off, and Bodhi stands up in the Jeep and says, "Yo, Johnny, I'll see you in the next life." I fucking cry. I'm not gonna lie. Says, "Yo, Johnny, I'll see you in the next life." I fucking cry. I don't know why. It's the same thing with the Matt. You know what it is? Oh my God, I'm making connections. I'm making connections right here. But you know what it is? It's the fucking end of the Master. What does fucking Freddie Quell say to Master in their final scene in the Master when Master's crying and seeing Slow Boat to China? And he says, you can just come and be with me. What does Freddie Quell whisper to him? He says, "Maybe in the next life." Oh, this is what I'm talking about. There is a heartbreaking electricity to these two characters who so badly want to be with each other, but cannot. And it's basically Brokeback Mountain with surfboards in that way. Yes. And again, I'm just so excited about that connection I just made. God bless you, Jack Daniels. But the other thing, Malcolm Knox, that I want to say is, how dare you besmirch the capital T, the LA movie? Because that, there's a lot of contenders. There's a lot of contenders, but you know what I'm going to say? I'm gonna say it right now.
There's like four, there's a Mount Rushmore, and we can name them. There's a Mount Rushmore, and we can name them.
Well,
Mount Rushmore for this little guy.
There's nearly 200 episode podcast dedicated to one of them. There's
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Heat, mm-hmm. Point Break, Chinatown. LA Confidential's very close on that list. Friday. Oh, Friday. Fucking Friday.
Let me just say this. Point Break is my LA movie, even more than Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Point Break is my LA movie. Point Break. You know, I'm like everybody else. You know, I'm a hick from somewhere other than LA, and I came out here. And Point Break is the LA that I wanted to see when I came to LA. And there are moments when the sun will part. And those golden bars will fall from the sky and hit you just right, and it feels like you're in Point Break. But that's the LA, you know, it's the ridiculousness, it's the sun bleached hair, it's the sand in your shoes, it's the smell of jasmine, it's the sex got clean and the air got dirty, it's the bland concrete banality of downtown. It's the fucking, look, I know they're a joke, I don't love them. It's the fucking Chili Peppers. That's why this is fucking Kiedis is in this movie. That would be a waste of time. There's a
reason. That's why Tom Sizemore is in this movie, Travis.
You gotta like this fair, man. but there's a reason why Kiedis needs to be in this movie. Because I mean, let me think. You live in Los Angeles. I don't care how cool you are. Let's drop the facade. Let's not be ironic. When you go to the beach and you're driving home and you're sun drunk and you've been out there all day, the sky has turned purplish pink as the sun is setting behind the horizon, and you're driving home, you got your hand on someone's leg. If you don't have the Red Hot Chili Peppers as Soul to Squeeze playing in your car, you're doing it fucking wrong. And that's why the fact that this movie even knows that they had to throw a fucking Chili Pepper in there. This is the quintessential to me LA movie. And Malcolm Knox, who's saying that this film hasn't aged well. Well, I'm not going to be mean. But you know what? This movie has aged well.
It's aged like it is, like a fucking Shiraz, baby.
And it gets better. And it gets better because, you know, at the time, people didn't really appreciate this film. And I think it has only gotten better as we've gotten older and we recognize, oh, wow, not only is this a lot of fun, when you go back and you watch this film, some of these action sequences, the skydive chase is because
so many movies are fucking terrible these days, Travis. Like, I mean, the quotient of what an action movie is and how unfathomably reliant action films are on digital effects and all that sort of nonsense trickery, it is a pleasurable day to roll in and throw a Point Break Blu-ray on and see these skydiving chase sequences and just
sometimes they put on that Blu-ray just to see the menu screen.
It's just insane. It's so aged beautifully.
And that foot chase, which is the cinema's maybe best neighborhood foot chase this side of Raising Arizona. Fucking Billy throws a pit bull at Johnny Utah, you guys. But to bring it back around, this really is the LA movie to me. And I think that part of the LA-ness of this film is Keanu Reeves. I know he's not from LA, but he is someone he is an institution here. He is LA. Without him, this does not work. Oh. Without him, this film, which is one of the great action films of the 90s, which puts it in the running for being one of the great action films, it does not work. And again, it is his commitment to the bit. It is his commitment to the ludicrousness of Johnny Utah and his commitment to the ludicrousness of this script, none of which should work, but do because of his commitment, Swayze's commitment. I would like to bring up as a corollary, if I may, which was a tough word to pronounce just now, really. Like, I can't even say your name right. Again, I'm sorry, everybody. It's called Rum and Rant. So I'm anyway.
He's embracing. Listen, you're embracing the spirit of this show, and I just wish I was there. I wish I was there drinking a fucking Jack Daniels with you.
We'll get there. We'll get there, buddy.
We're gonna get there.
There's another 1991 film, another 30-year-old flick by the name of Ricochet. Written by Stephen E. D'Souza, who's written all of your favorite action films of the 80s. Ricochet with old Denzel Washington and John Lithgow, Ice-T. So let me just say this about that. Ricochet is a lot of fun. It's a lot like Point Break in that if you look at the plot on paper, this is pretty stupid. And what makes Ricochet work is you've got John Lithgow as villain Earl Talbot Blake, and you've got Denzel Washington as assistant district attorney Nick Stiles, who at one point like strips down to his underwear to distract the bad
guy. In the trailer. It's in the trailer.
Weirdest thing. And I've always wondered if the same thing happening in Lethal Weapon 4 is a tribute to that, but whatever. That's a whole other thing. So anyway, ridiculous fucking film. But you want to know why? Do you want to know why we don't talk about Ricochet the same way we talk about Point Break, even though it's a great action film? It's a great LA movie. And it was originally going to be a Dirty Harry movie. It's a great film. The characters are all larger than life and fucking ridiculous. And it literally should be a double feature with Point Break simply because of how bizarre and strange and wild it is. Now, the reason why we don't talk about it as much, you want to know why? Is because it is, I think, harder for people to accept the ludicrousness of that movie. You want to know why? It's not because of John Lithgow, who's pretty good at playing hammy villains from...
Cliffhanger is one of my favorite hammy villains all time.
Cliffhanger to Raising Cain to
Raising Cain.
Wild Foghorn Leghorn evil southerner in De Palma's Obsession. The reason why? It's Denzel. He plays this character.
He's smiling through it.
With such passion and charisma and intensity like we always get from one of our absolute greatest actors. But he's a little too sly. He's a little too, he's smiling a little bit. Like he gets that it's silly. He's giving it. He's still giving it his all. But he gets that it's silly. And because he gets that it's silly, he makes it okay for us to go, oh, this is a little silly, isn't it? You're not going to cry. If anyone tells assistant district attorney Nick Stiles at the end of Ricochet, yo, Nick Stiles, if Ice-T, who plays a gang member that kind of helps Nick Stiles out, if at the end of the movie Ice-T's Odessa says, yo, Nick Stiles, I'll see you in the next life, no one's crying. I'm not crying. You're not crying because you're smirking. It's cute. Because you, for a film like that, you need someone who's going to embrace the bit, who has a willingness and almost kind of a blankness that you can project the bit upon to truly work. And again, this is no slur to Denzel, one of our finest actors. Ricochet is a really fun film, but I think one of the reasons we don't 1,000% buy it is because Denzel's smiling and he's letting you know it's okay for you to smile at it. And it's all a little silly. Whereas Keanu is John Utah. He's deadly fucking serious. And you need someone who has the capability of being, who has the specific type of range to make a character named Johnny Utah, who at one point introduces himself by going, "Hey, I'm Johnny Utah." You need someone who's going to play that with the utmost sincerity, not a smirk, not stripping down to his boxers and doing a chicken dance to distract him, just being real, playing it like it's a real fucking guy who actually behaves like this. And that is something that only someone like Keanu Reeves can do. And so, Malcolm Knox, the only thing worse than Point Break, Keanu Reeves is acting in it. There is nothing wrong with Point Break. Absolutely nothing. That film is Los Angeles. That film is a great crime film. That film was doing a whole fuck of a lot of what Heat did a couple of years later. No, again, no slur on Heat, Blake. Don't get upset. No,
I'm not upset. I game recognize game.
But there are very few movies that I would put on a double feature with Heat. Well, for one thing, because it would be a real button.
Fucking long.
But Point Break is a movie.
Definitely.
That I would, in a heartbeat, double feature with Heat. And hey, you got Keanu doing that thing where he busts his knee and he's got to let Bodhi go and he shoots up it in the sky. And again.
And it gets recreated. Like, someone, it gets recreated like in Hot Fuzz. Yeah.
Someone like Edgar Wright will play that for a laugh because, and again, not a slur on Edgar Wright, who's a fine filmmaker, but he sees no way to portray that other than as a punchline. But in fucking Point Break, that isn't a punchline. That is real pain. There's probably, you could write a whole essay on the weird sexual nature of him having to fire his gun off alone into the sky because the man he wants is running away. Do with that what you will. But God damn, there is just, who else but Keanu would not only be willing to take that character seriously, but could take him seriously and do him that justice. There's only one person I think that could play a character named Johnny Utah, do it with a straight face, do it and make it fun, do it and make it funny, but not funny like, ha ha, just like, hey, I'm Johnny Utah. You laugh with him. Only Keanu could do that.
There's only one man. He's the one.
Could do it.
He's the one.
He is the one. You know what? Malcolm Knox. You know who Malcolm Knox is? He's all the other captains of all the other ships in the fucking Matrix sequels that fucking Neo's flying over their heads, and they're still like, well, I don't know. Is he really all? And he's like literally just like flying and doing loop de loops in the sky with Rage Against the Machine blaring out of the sky around them. And he's just doing a Superman thing, and they're like, well, I don't know. I mean, this. So yeah, you know what? Malcolm Knox, snake oil salesman. I say snake oil salesman. I'm not buying it. Blake's not buying it. And this whole thing of people trying to get a couple of clicks or a couple of likes every couple of years, but going, you know that Keanu Reeves. You see, you know what?
The hackiest fucking shit ever. It's the hackiest wonderful, shit ever.
And you know, I'm being so fucking remiss that God, this supposedly 15 minute episode, which is now I'm sure much less, we've gone this whole time.
I just tricked you in with 15 minutes
without mentioning the wonderful Angelica Jade Bastien, absolutely wonderful film and culture writer and critic who wrote an excellent essay for Bright Wall Dark Room. Full disclosure, an essay that I am an editor and writer for. She wrote an excellent, excellent, excellent essay, doing a much better job than what you and I have done here tonight, basically saying all of these same things, you know, the magic of his style and his performances and what the uniqueness of what he brings to the screen and how it's easy if you want to get a couple of likes on Twitter and tee off a silly take like, oh boy, that Keanu sure is kind of a bad actor. He really is. So he really stupid. He is a gift.
And what Angelica
to modern cinema.
And what Angelica does in that piece is delivery, an actor's delivery. So many people are so dismissive and, I guess, limited in their understanding of how important physical presence is to a performance. And what Angelica's essay does so brilliantly is talk about just how much his physicality is his performance. And yeah, these two guys, that's what Swayze could do. And that's, you know, we've talked a lot about Keanu's ability to not wink at the camera. Roadhouse. There is not a single actor in history that could have done Roadhouse except for Patrick Swayze.
Oh God, damn it. You're a thousand. And boy, you know, I was trying to keep this a tight 15.
this is a tight 15 for you and I. This is a really right. tight 15 for
no,
you
no,
and
no,
I.
No. I've had this conversation many times and I actually have, unfortunately, I've really subjected a lot of poor people that know me in person to this conversation, which is the beauty of both Swayze too, you know, is that the reason Roadhouse works, everybody in that fucking movie, from director Rowdy Harrington to the lowliest extra, not that extras are lowly, I'm not talking shit, to Ben Gazzara, to everybody, to Sam Elliott, bless his heart, is treating that movie as kind of a goof. Like everyone involved in Roadhouse is treating Roadhouse as kind of a goof. The one person who's playing that shit with deadly earnestness, Patrick Swayze. I keep thinking of when he's standing in the double deuce the first time we see him and he's listening to music. And instead of nodding his head to music, he juts his chin up instead. Like, I don't know what weird fucking choice that is, but that is the choice of someone who has thought about, how does this guy bob his head to music? He doesn't bob his head down like every human being does. He throws his chin up in the air over and over again, like some sort of fucking rooster. Pain don't hurt. Oh, come on.
Pain don't hurt.
Again, these are it makes it sound like we're goofing on them, that they're dumb, that they don't get that these movies are dumb. And that's not the case. It's that while these movies, yeah, sure. I mean, every movie is silly. I mean, the whole idea of making movies, these stories that we tell ourselves, distract ourselves for 2 hours, this is all silly. But, you know, these movies are a little silly. Roadhouse is a silly film, and Point Break, as much as I love it, I mean, it's silly. But it's not that these actors are silly for taking it serious. They understand that it is their duty to not wink at the material, to not mock the material, but to embrace the material. And I think that's something that actors like Cage, it's the reason they get kind of a bad rap, is because they are willing to embrace the material no matter how high or low.
Yes.
And in this case, you know, I don't think the Point Break is low. I mean, maybe Roadhouse a little bit, but fun low. But they embrace it with the same seriousness with which Philip Seymour Hoffman and Joaquin Phoenix are embracing their characters.
Now that's a fucking double feature.
Like the Master. Oh, I mean,
Point Break. Master and Point Break. Oh, come on, New Bev, when it reopens. That's an insta sellout. Do you know anyone do you know anyone who works for the New Bev?
I know a handful of folks there. But hey, I mean, they literally both end with that seat, maybe in the next life. Oh God. And so again,
I kind of know this guy who occasionally writes for the New Bev that might just be a great excuse for that person to write up a great Saturday night, like late night double feature. I don't know. I mean, call me crazy, but we'll see.
But yeah, there is the greatest gift that Keanu gives us is his willingness to embrace the material. He, whether it's Bill and Ted, whether it's Ortiz the dog-faced boy, whether it's a wonderful heartfelt Gus Van Sant movie, whether it's John fucking Wick, whether it's, you know, something that feels a little trifling like Destination Wedding, he always embraces the material. You know, I made that joke at the beginning, you know, always understands the assignment. Keanu always understands the assignment. Maybe the assignment is not for him. You know, I will, you know, admit something like Dracula, you know,
which is actually aged better too, because you know, sure, what? No, so many of the moving parts in that movie aren't necessarily well cast either. I think Coppola was casting for, or whoever was casting that movie was casting for energy.
Well, Coppola makes it clear in the commentary track and in various interviews, the studio kind of insisted that there be a heartthrob of Keanu levels. And so his hand was somewhat forced there. But even then, I think that in a weird way, we're going on in a real cul-de-sac here, but in a weird way, Dracula is Coppola's most De Palma-esque film in a way, in that it is felt that it is that really truly embraces the artifice that kind of throbs beneath some of Coppola's artier films. And, you know, Keanu as a, you know, 19th century Victorian really, really amps up that feeling of artifice in a way that I'm okay with. Even though it's hard to hear him saying things like, I have to go to Carfax.
You know, while we're in this cul-de-sac, another movie made in 1992, made by someone I'm very dear to my heart, Mr. Michael Mann, called Last of the Mohicans, stopped Daniel Day-Lewis from starring as Dracula in Dracula.
Oh, boy. That probably would have been too sexy.
I mean, my face is melting already even thinking about it. That movie would have been blindingly hot. Ridiculous.
Can you imagine in Keanu top-lining Last of the Mohicans?
Well, later Keanu I can. With a few more years on him, absolutely. Because he's got... I think they would have underwritten it. Because the more that he could have... the less he would have spoken, I could totally buy a Jack Traven speed age Keanu / older as a Hawkeye.
I've got to go to... Kentucky. We went some places tonight, Blake. But yeah, again, it's his embrace. He is never above embracing the character. He does not smirk. Again, that wasn't meant to be an insult because Denzel is wonderful in Ricochet, but I think that through the reason that Ricochet is seen as kind of like a silly artifact of the 90s is because we laugh at it a little bit. Those of us who have seen it, we can kind of chuckle at it a little bit, smirk at it a little bit. It's a little over the top. And so is Point Break, but I think the reason why you can dial into its wavelength a little bit more is that Keanu, he carries you. He is that slate, that kind of Blake slate that you project on. He carries you into that vibe and lets you kind of hold your hand and gets you into it. Whereas Denzel, he's kind of making you laugh as he's walking you around going, this is some bullshit, isn't it?
I mean,
this is some wild shit.
He's such a charming fuck, though, Denzel. I mean, the charm level on the guy, it's just
and out of Keanu's control. Charming, too, but he's charming like a golden retriever, like a big, affable family dog that smiles at when you come in the door. So you smile at him, but you're not, like, thinking too much about it. Anyway, so... Bring it all around. Malcolm Knox, shame on you. Shame on you.
Agree.
Shame on you. I'm really trying to keep it PG-13 and not say all the things that these past few tumblers of whiskey are pushing me to say, but just shame on you. And you owe Catherine Bigelow an apology. You owe Patrick Swayze an apology. You owe Lori Petty an apology. And most especially, you owe Mr. Keanu Reeves a big, big apology. Owe him a gigantic apology. And, you know, we can't all speak for Malcolm Knox, nor would we want to.
No.
But what we can do, for those of you who are listening to this, is I want you to get your guy or get your girl or get your whoever. I want you to get in a Jeep, no top. And I want you to drive on down to Point Magoo. Here in wonderful Southern California, I want you to sit in the beach. I want you to get some sand. I want you to feel that foamy surf between your toes. I want you to go for a swim. I want you to get a little sunburned. I want you to get back in that Jeep. I want you to drive down the 101. I want you to burn right down it. I want you to go home. I don't want you to get something on fucking iTunes or Amazon or Vudu. I want you to buy the Blu-ray with the beautiful menu. I want you to pop in Point Break. I want you to get some rum, maybe get a pizza, order something from Patrick's Roadhouse, mentioned in the film. And I want get some tacos. and I want you to kick back.
Give me two.
Get two.
Two, hey, Utah.
Or hey, get a meatball sub if you want, but not two. That's real heavy. Like, I don't know how Angela.
Real heavy. Real heavy.
Especially it's like 10 in the morning. and I want you to kick back and I want you to spend 2.5 hours with Mr. Johnny, Agent Johnny fucking Utah, a character who could only have been played by one man and one man alone. And his name is Keanu Reeves. I want you to do that. I want you to do that. I want you to do that to negate this horrible hack shit take and embrace the glory, the gorgeousity, and the greatness that is Keanu Reeves as Johnny fucking Utah. Do that for me. Do that for your pal Keanu. He's done so much for you over the years. The least you can do is do that for him. Go do that. Do that for Johnny.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.